Welcome to another Thursday podcast. This one's a very special podcast because it falls on Maundy Thursday. But whether you're listening to it on Thursday or any other day for that matter, and so on the night when he was in the upper room and he was reclining with his best friends at the table, when he took the bread and the cup from the meal and he blessed it and he called it his body and his blood, we have been given this holy day, this holy Thursday called Maundy Thursday, from the Latin word mandato, which simply means commandment, do this in remembrance of me. So wherever you are, I hope that you will take the time to share with us in this podcast the Lord's Supper. And then I will also offer another podcast this week for Easter Sunday. And again, whether you listen to it on Easter Sunday morning or any other day, it's the celebration of the resurrection of Christ. So let's share together. The music in our call to worship today is provided by our pianist, Belinda. And it is a wonderful setting of a great old hymn, The Old Rugged Cross. And while she's playing, you are invited to go into your kitchen or your pantry and find a cracker or a piece of bread and something to drink. Now, you know, it doesn't have to be grape juice. It doesn't have to be a perfect wafer, for these are symbols that Christ have established, and these symbols can be anything of your choosing. So while the music is playing, I hope that you'll take the time to go and get a cracker or a piece of bread and something to drink, and when the prelude is finished, we'll have an opportunity to share the Lord's Supper together.
Thank you.
So our New Testament reading today is from Matthew, the 26th chapter, and it is the institution of the Lord's Supper. How perfect for Maundy Thursday. Hear the word of God. On the first day of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying, "Where do you want us to make the preparations for you to eat the Passover?" Jesus said, "Go into the city to a certain man and say to him, 'The teacher says, my time is near. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples.'" So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared the Passover meal. When it was evening, Jesus took his place with the 12. And while they were eating, he said, "Truly I tell you, one of you will betray me." And they became greatly distressed and began to say to him one after another, "Surely not I, Lord." And Jesus answered them, "The one who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me. The Son of Man goes as it is written of him, but woe to that one by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that one not to have been born." Judas, who would betray him, said, "Surely not I, Rabbi." He replied, "You have said so." And while they were eating, Jesus took a loaf of bread, and after blessing it, he broke it, gave it to the disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will never again drink of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." When they had sung the hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. And now, my friends, let's share together a wonderful hymn, "O Sacred Head Now Wounded."
Sacred head now wounded, with grief and shame bowed down, now scornfully surrounded with thorns thine only crown. Oh, sacred head, what glory, what bliss till now was thine. Yet though despised and gory, I joy to call thee mine. What thou, my Lord, hast suffered was all for sinners' gain. Mine was the transgression, but thine the deadly pain. What language shall I borrow to thank thee, dearest friend, for this thy dying sorrow, thy pity without end? Oh, make me thine forever, and should I fainting be, Lord, let me never, never outlive my love for thee.
You know, it occurred to me this week that Holy Week is really a gift. A gift no matter when you celebrate it. We are all released from the opportunity to go and sit in our churches or our synagogues and be together in worship for Passover or for Holy Week, we're separate. We're separated. We're isolated from one another. But still, it gives us an opportunity, Holy Week, to celebrate the gift even if we're not together. I was thinking about how quickly we people of faith want to jump to the hopeful parts of our faith. We love the birth of Christ at Christmas time. We love the Passover feast celebrated in homes and synagogues around the world. We love things of hope, filled with hope. And we love Easter. We love going to that day of celebration. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. But we have a little more trouble celebrating the week that we call Holy Week, from Palm Sunday until Holy Saturday, because it's sad, because it's a time of grief and some despair. Now, we know how the story ends, so celebrating the grief and despair is a little easier. But I wonder if we're people who want to jump too quickly over Maundy Thursday and Good Friday and get to that good stuff, the resurrection stuff, and not be in despair or grief. We seem to be people like that. We like to not embrace grief and despair. We like to run from sadness. We like to gloss it over. But I think, as I was pondering this Holy Week, this is a good year. This is a good time in our present circumstance to wholly and completely embrace the pain of what happened on Maundy Thursday and Good Friday. There's no point in running from it, because a huge part of the story is the sacrifice that Christ made for all humankind. A huge part of the story is the pain that he went through, the anguish he went through. Consider the stories that we look at during Holy Week. He's in the upper room on Maundy Thursday, reclining at the table with his friends. And what's the first thing he brings up? Someone's going to betray me. One of my closest friends is going to turn on me. Can you imagine the pain and anguish that comes from knowing that one of the people you have loved, one of the people you have trusted, one of the few human beings you would call your friends, is going to turn on you, is going to turn you in, and for a few pieces of coin, he's going to betray you. The anguish that happens at that upper room when he says, "This cup is like a cup of blood, my blood, which I'm giving to you." It is full of pain. Or how about Good Friday? He allows himself to be tried before the Sanhedrin, beaten within an inch of his life, whipped by Pilate's soldiers, and crucified on the cross, the most horrible death that you could possibly have. You know, the Romans didn't crucify people for very long. They thought at some point, I suppose, that it would be a deterrent if they saw people hanging on a cross and dying brutally in front of a crowd. But evidently it didn't turn out that way, because it wasn't very many years that the Roman government continued to do crucifixions and those public kinds of executions as a deterrent. But Jesus himself was tried and convicted and executed in that brutal way. The pain he felt hanging on the cross. And just like the criminal who turned to him while he's hanging on the cross and said, "You saved others, yourself you cannot save," Jesus must have known that he didn't have to go through this. He could ask for God's help to come down from the cross. And yet, in the Garden of Gethsemane, as he prays for that very thing, "Father, can you take this cup away from me? Can you take away this anguish?" Instead, he says, "Not my will, but yours be done, God." And he allows himself to be beaten. He allows himself to be crucified. He allows himself the horrible physical pain of death. I think it's really important during Holy Week that we don't jump over the pain and the anguish and try to get ourselves to Easter too quickly. Sometimes I wonder about where we are right now in the coronavirus pandemic. I think we're all looking forward to that day, and I've noticed on posts in Facebook and online from different people that people are so anxious about that day. They post memes and wonderful videos of people getting together and sharing that wonderful day when we'll all be back together. But that day is a ways off. And right now, we have pain. And those of us who have loved ones in the hospital, we have anguish. And those of us who are losing our family members because of the coronavirus have so much grief, we can hardly bear it. And sometimes when they post those numbers on the news and the numbers just get larger and larger and larger, it seems to me we don't think about every one of those numbers represents a person, represents a family in their loss. Every one of those numbers is pain and anguish. And for us to arrive at the day after, when we are all freed from our own homes and allowed to embrace once again, in order to jump to that, we truly need to experience the pain. Or how about the pain of those who are working in hospitals and clinics? We have a neighbor who lives upstairs in our building, and she goes to a care facility every single day, both her and her daughter. And it occurs to me we need to enter into her pain and anguish too, for she is in every way laying her life on the line, because care facilities and nursing homes are usually ground zero for places where the coronavirus spreads so quickly and so deadly. And yet every day, she and her daughter get up, they go to work, they serve the people in their job. I think sometimes when we fall into times of despair and pain, we want to jump beyond them, we want to move beyond them. But I wonder if Holy Week doesn't give us an opportunity to remember that Jesus laid down his life for us in pain and anguish, in total humility, before we got to that moment of resurrection. Couldn't have gotten there without the events of Holy Week. And we will not be able to enjoy, join together when this pandemic has abated. We will not be able to rise up from our homes and embrace one another without truly experiencing the pain of what we're going through now. I know it doesn't seem like something you want to do. I know it doesn't seem like something you would choose to do. I know it doesn't seem like something that we want to reach out and experience, but the pain and the anguish of the times we're going through right now, with people in care facilities and nursing homes, with people in the hospital, with people's families being lost to the coronavirus, that pain is very real. And I think it's important, perhaps even essential, that our prayer life and our faith life experience the anguish and pain that one day we'll be set free as we're all brought back together again to embrace one another, to encourage one another, to lift each other up. Those will be good days. But to get there, I wonder if we might not take the same path that Christ took and experience the pain and anguish of these days, so one day we can celebrate and console one another for what we've been through. I know when I've lost a loved one, I have always appreciated people, friends especially, who would reach out and console me, and not say things like, oh, well, the loss of your loved one is not that bad because they're going to heaven. Well, I know that that's true, but the loss and the anguish is still there. Or people who use cliches like, well, God must have wanted your loved one more than you. What a ridiculous thing to say. We need to embrace our colleagues and our friends and our family members, embrace them in their pain, even from a distance. We need to walk with them through these darkest valleys, these valleys of shadow and death, so that we can truly experience with them the hope of resurrection, until we share with them the pain and anguish of their loss and simply listen to how much they're hurting. We can't really participate together in the joy of reunification and the joy of resurrection. So I suggest, as we move through Holy Week, especially this year, spend a quiet moment or two remembering those who are in pain, thinking of those, embracing them with our thoughts and prayers until that day when we can embrace them in person. Let's pray together. God, help us to understand where you walked during Holy Week. where you gave yourself over to despair and anguish and pain before you moved to the empty tomb. Help us to walk that walk with you right now, to pray for those who are now serving on the front line and laying their lives wide open to danger and infection. Let us pray and embrace from a distance all those who have lost their loved ones to the pandemic, one family at a time, adding up to all those astronomical numbers. Help us to feel the grief of those who cannot be with their loved ones as they are sick and dying in the hospitals and care facilities. Help us to love one another so much that we can even experience the pain and grief and anguish before we are reunited, so we might share together the joy of resurrection. In the name of Jesus, I pray these things. Amen. Will you join me as we share together the Lord's Supper, as we celebrate the institution of this great feast? Jesus is in the upper room with his closest friends, his disciples. And as they recline at the table sharing the Passover feast, Jesus takes the bread, and he blesses it, and he breaks it, and he gives it to each one of them. And he says, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you." In the same way, after the meal, he pours out the cup, and he blesses it, and he gives it to each of them, and he says, "Take, drink, all of you. This is the blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for the forgiveness of sins." And many years later, the Apostle Paul would write in a letter to the churches, "Every time we eat this bread and drink from this cup, we do so remembering Christ Jesus until he comes for us again. This is the great feast of God for the people of God. Come one and all from the north and south and east and west. Come to the table of the Lord. Share the bread, which is the symbol of his sacrifice, and the cup, which is the symbol of a new relationship with God in which our sins are forgiven. Take a moment and share the eating of the bread and the drinking from the cup." Let us break bread together on our knees. Let us break bread together on our knees. When I fall on my knees with my face to the rising sun, O Lord, have mercy on me. Let us drink wine together on our knees. Let us drink wine together on our knees. When I fall on my knees with my face to the rising sun, O Lord, have mercy on me. And now once again, our time together has ended. So I hope that you will find in this week that we call Holy Week an opportunity to remember what God did for us, and then prepare for the great resurrection of Christ on Easter Sunday. This week I will also present a podcast on Easter, which you can find in the same location as all the others. Let's offer our benediction. May the road rise to meet you. May the wind be always at your back. May the sun shine warm upon your face. May the rains fall soft upon your fields. And may God hold you in the palm of his hand. God will hold you in the palm of his hand. Amen. Amen. My friends, the service here is ended. May we go in peace. Amen.